Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Can you guys hear me online?
Yes.
Abba, Father, we come here together and we are desiring, Lord, that we would be active listeners to the God who is willing to speak to us. I pray that the posture of our heart would be that we want to receive and hear. We want to know you more, and we want to be changed, transformed by you. Lord, I pray that you would stir within our hearts and that we would give you the freedom to move within us and speak to us, we pray. And that we would have that desire to be convicted. We would have that desire to be uplifted. We would have a desire to want to move in the way that you want us to move in our life. So we want to yield ourselves to you. Father, we pray that all of the Sunday schools going off right now, or going on right now, Lord, would be equally blessed and a place where your children are meeting with you. So we thank you. We thank you for this class. We pray for your help, and we pray this in Jesus' name. So there's a key word in his name, Mekadesh, right? Mekadesh is kind of the short, easier way as opposed to saying Jehovah Mekodeshken, but you could also say Jehovah Mekodeshken. You guys want to try to say that? Jehovah Mekodeshken, or for short, Jehovah Mekadesh. Right, which one do you guys like? Mekadesh or Mekodesh? Mekadesh. So Kadesh or Kadosh in the Hebrew is the word sanctify, holy, to make holy. So this name of God is saying the God who makes you holy. The God who sanctifies. And last week, we started with this idea of what do you think about when you think about a no trespassing sign, right? And then I asked the class, because I thought it would be interesting, what do you think about when you see a no trespassing sign if it was at an atomic waste or a toxic waste dump, right? Because for some of us, like Ryan, who wasn't here, I don't know where all the kids are today. That's cool. It's okay. We don't need that force. But, like Ryan and myself, I have this thing in my blood that if I see something that says, you know, caution, do not cross, do not enter, something internally literally buzzes, right? And we said that, you know, Ryan has that, right? Ryan, when you see something that says, do not touch, what do you want to do, buddy?
Touch it.
Right? At your own peril, right? At your own peril. Might shock you to death, right? And that's something that's odd with us, right? That's here. Feel free to come and sit around the circle. We're trying to do a organized chaos today. And so that's pointing at something in our system that says when we see something that we're not supposed to do, we have an inclination to want to do it, right? To our own peril, okay? Now, what happens, I asked last week, if you saw no trespassing sign or do not enter in front of a room where there's, in a hospital, where there's, what example are you, surgery going on, right? Would you respect that, Brian, or would you just enter?
No, I respect that.
Yeah, you respect that, why?
Because there's surgery.
Right, because there's surgery going on. Someone else's health is at risk, right? I was trying to think of a way that would help us understand that when God gives rules, even coming from someone like me, when God gives rules, and we might translate them even today from Old Testament into principles, there are two things that he's trying to protect. One of them we touched on last night with the youth group, right? When God has saved us, and what has happened in, man, I don't want to repeat everything that I shared last night, but it's just so, it's so paralleled into this topic, right? When God created us in Genesis, he created us in his image, and he created us without sin. And there's a version of us that he desires us to be, his plan for us, or his destiny for us, is to grow and be transformed more and more into that version of in his imageness that we were created to be like. That's what I shared last night with the youth, right? There's a version of you that God has in his mind that when he created you and he designed you, there's a picture of you, a version of you that is untarnished and unmessed up by sin, right? But the Bible says we're born into sin. And as soon as we can, I always use this example. The first time I saw that my child had sinned, and that was Bethany, right, my first child, was when she was so young. She was so young. And she was sitting in her toddler high chair, strapped in, and right, eating food. And when she didn't see me, she threw a piece of food that she didn't want to eat on the ground. Okay? And then mom and I come back in the picture, and I'm like, oh, how cute, Bethany. Did you throw this on the ground because you didn't want to eat it? No. And we're like, and I was like, oh, you know, Bex, oh, didn't just show how many, no, I straight up saw it. And we were speaking English. She didn't understand English at the time, right? So we're like speaking in Chinese to her, did you throw this on the ground? And she's like, no. I'm like, are you sure? I think you did. No, I didn't. And Beck's like, oh, no, I think it was on the ground. I'm like, and I spoke in English, so I'm like, dude, bro, she straight up like threw it. I saw her. She's lying right now. And we were like, no way. This is her first sin in front of our eyes. Straight up sin. Straight up sin in front of our face. Straight up lie. And I'm like, did you teach her to lie? She's like, oh, no, not me. She's probably you. I'm like, I didn't teach her to lie. She's probably you. I'm like, I didn't teach her to lie. She's born with that disorder. My daughter has a disorder, right? So we're all born with this sin disorder. And sin, since we're sitting in a toddler seat, messes up our life. It messes us up. But God has a goal. And the picture that we used last week and last night is the picture of Israel. Okay. Why did God, okay, this is now the third time for you, like high school students, junior high school students, why did God deliver them out of bondage, of slavery in Egypt for 400 years? What was God's purpose? Did God have a purpose for them? Do you guys remember? At least. Sorry, you nodded. You're like, oh, I should have nodded. It's better to delay. Because when you guys look blank, I'm like, I don't even know if they're listening. They're like thinking about it.
Because he was going to use Israel to bless the nations.
Yes. God has a plan for his people. God's always had a plan for his chosen people. And the plan was given in the first covenant to Abraham. That wasn't the very, very first covenant. That's the covenant that's significant for us in our conversation. But this covenant was a promise to Abraham. Your descendants, immediately in the Old Testament, that's Israel, are going to be blessed so that they can bless every other nation. How can you be blessed if you are chained and chained up, bound up in slavery? So God freed them from that, right? God freed them from being slaves. And they wandered around in the desert land for how many years?
400.
Okay, 400 was the number of years that they were in Egypt. But how many years were they wandering? There's a four in there. 40 years, good. So 40 years, because you guys were saying 40. That's why you said 40 for the slavery. And then it's 400. This, today you said 400, but it's actually 40 for the desert. So it's 400 in slavery, something about force for the Israel, right? And so here is Israel now wandering around the desert, preparing to get into their promised land. And the land belongs to them, but God knows what's going to happen to them. They're going to be what? What did we talk about last night? Huh? What happens when they go to a land that is not just full of plenty, but it's full of temptation? Right? They're going to be tempted to live the way the people in that world lived. And so God set up an entire system of laws. And under that covenant, that's the old covenant. Remember, we've taught that in here before, and Peter's preached on this, that in that covenant, when God cut that covenant, he said, if you follow this, you are going to be blessed. But if you don't follow this, you will be what? Starts with a C. Yeah, go ahead and say it.
Cursed.
It's straight up like that. But God's desire for them was to be blessed. No one else in the world got this type of covenant from Yahweh. But God knew even then that they would struggle. God knew even then that they would struggle. So today, as we talk about Israel, I'm going to weave in and out because it's too relatable to us today, right? God freed Israel from captivity, from bondage, from slavery in Egypt to become the version of themselves that he's designed them to be. A people that's more and more in line, a people that's more and more changed and transformed to become a people that he designed them to be in his image, reflecting God. But as he brings them into this new life in the land of promise, he doesn't want them to fall under bondage again. Because that's what happens to us, right? When God frees us from sin and bondage, He doesn't want us to slip into that again by putting ourselves and living under the world's ways and the world's influences. That was the last night with the youth, right? We are so influenced by the world that we're letting sin, we're letting harmful bacteria come in to the surgery room where God needs, and God's design is for the surgery room to be so pure. That's why I use that analogy of the no trespassing sign, right? God doesn't want us to cross into boundaries of the world where we don't belong, because it's to our own peril. Right, you guys with me? Right? So when last night we're thinking about our friends and the influences, right? As you think about your influences in your life and what's influencing you to go into sinful ways, those are places where God's like, don't go there. Don't go into that space, right? So people like Ryan and I are fools in a spiritual sense when God says, I've laid out my plans for you so that I'll put a do not trespass in this area. Don't go into this level of friendships where if you are so unaware, you're being polluted and you're doing it at your own peril. You are putting yourself under the influence of bad, sinful friends, and you are no longer going in the direction where God designed you to be, where you are less and less marred and afflicted by sin. Sinful decisions, sinful actions. We talked last night that the influences of the world affect the way we talk, affect the way we make decisions, affect the way we treat people, affect everything about us. And that deters us from God's version of us that He wants us to become. There's a version of you. I like to use Ryan because it's just very relatable, right? That's okay, right? Ryan loves that too, right? Keeps him like, there's a version of Ryan, believe it or not, that God has created him to be. There's a version of him. And that plan, the picture that God has, is a picture of Ryan that is free from sin and free from worldly influence, where he's only under the influence of God, where he only yields to God. And when Ryan lives in that way, and more he lives that way, the more amazing his life is going to be. The more, you know, he said his dream is to still play for the NBA, right? And he said his dad shattered that dream. I'm sorry, son.
That's still my dream.
Let me break it. And it doesn't matter. See, it doesn't matter, because if he makes it in, great. Dude, our whole church is going to be stoked, right? The next, like, Jeremy Lin, right in our church, right? And if he is becoming that version of him that God created him to be, he will have an amazing life. But even if he doesn't, and now he's got financial woes and financial struggles, and he put all of his eggs into trying to get into the NBA, but it messed him up. And so now he's not in the financially strongest place. But if he's being transformed and becoming the person that God created him to be, he will have an amazing life still. You guys with me? Right? This is what God's design was for the Israelites. But the Lord began to plant an idea. He began to plant an idea that began in the Old Testament through this name. That's why this name, some people said, this is a life-giving name. Jehovah Mekadesh, right? Because, and here it is in context here, in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, let's go ahead and read this together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am Yahweh, Mekadesh, or Mekadesh. Okay. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You can see in this verse something that the Israelites didn't fully get to experience because they were on that side of the covenant, they were on the old covenant side. We live on the what side? New covenant side, right? They're on the old covenant side. What do you see in Israel's cycle over and over and over again? What do you see in Israel's cycle? Do you guys need to talk about it? Like what's, I mean, it's kind of, think like, you know, like I'm up in the 30,000 foot view, right? What do you think about Israel?
Forgetful.
Okay, forgetful.
They keep arguing,
they keep complaining, right? What else?
Disobedient,
right? For everything that God gave them, they just couldn't do it. They couldn't get to where God wanted them to go. They couldn't really live out this being blessed to be a blessing. They couldn't really shine. They couldn't really be, as he said to them, you shall be, you will be a royal priesthood, right? You will be a holy people. And they could not. The goal for them was to be able to be holy and a royal priesthood so that they can let other nations see God's ways and see God through them. They're supposed to be a reflection of God. But they didn't progress here. Janine says they kept disobeying and they kept falling under the influence of the people around them. So even when God showed them, don't be under the influence. Last night, I hope some of our youth, right, were able to realize, oh my goodness, God has an actual plan for me. God has one of his designs for me is to be holy. And there's a version of me that he wants me to be and go towards. And I hope some of the youth are finally realizing, oh my goodness, I have so many influences in my life that are negative, that are sending me off track from where God wants me to go in my own personal, let's call it holiness. Right? The Israelites couldn't do it in the Old Testament. They could not do it. And so the Lord God, the Lord Yahweh, says, I want you to, what's the first three words in there, or the first two words of that verse? Consecrate yourselves. Consecrate means I'm going to set myself apart. Consecrate is another word for make yourself holy, right? So I'm going to consecrate myself. And then he ends by saying, I am the one who will sanctify you. But that was just a foreshadowing of what comes for us. Okay? So, so this is the destiny or God's plan, right? I used the word destiny last night a lot with the youth. So I want you to begin to, you know, I've been thinking about that word for weeks. Like, we don't use that word very often, but Does God have a destiny? What is a destiny? A destiny is something, it's a plan from God for you. That God has a desired plan for you. There is a destiny for you. I used that word last night so often because I wanted you to be inspired to say, God has a destiny for me. There's something I can move towards. There's something I can work towards. There's something I can have in my mind. If God has a destiny for me, how much greater is that than any destiny that the world can offer? Or last night we talked about influences, right? Why does Ryan want to be in the NBA? I wonder. I wonder if his father had any influence on that. I wonder if his father left any influence to say, man, you can do this, son. Like, dream this dream. But there's one that is greater than your human father. And the greater the person, the greater the destiny. The person who has given Ryan his destiny is far better than the destiny that his father named over him, right? That's why we see in the Old Testament, names are so important. Frank and I talked about that. Frank set that up when we went over names of God. Names are so important. But the names that the parents give the children cannot, that they pale in comparison to the name when God names you, right? So Peter had planted a dream in Ryan's heart for something, but that pales in comparison with God's destiny. Israel had a destiny for his, God had a destiny for his people. When they arrive in the land, right? It's going to be a great land. Everything that God brings to us in terms of a promise, our life is great, right? But this land is going to be full of temptation. God's destiny for them is to be a people whose lives would reflect the image of God and bring blessing to the world. That's the goal. That's the amazing life. When you're living in the way, more and more, reflecting the image of God, the way He created you to be, the more of an amazing life and a blessing you are to others around you. It just happens. For those of us who have walked with the Lord for some time, you see that happen over and over again. God puts us in places to bless others. And when we are seeking His heart, when we're living towards this end, we become transformed. So I want you guys to talk about real quickly how this process and this call to be sanctified, and the call to be sanctified, like I said, is the process of being transformed to live in more and more holiness. I'm going to explain this more. There's actually a lot of layers. And you could ask Bex. I struggled the last like 3-4 weeks thinking how to package this. And it's a very layered, it can be very theological. And I always think about you younger people in our class. So I'm like, I gotta simplify this. I gotta make this relevant. And I gotta like cut out all the other theological things that I would love to talk about in this. But right now, what we understand is that God called them to be sanctified. God called them to be a holy people. Now, I want you guys to get in groups and talk about how much that is like us today and how much Israel struggles is like ours today. But what is the difference for us? Does that make sense? Okay. Talk about the similarities. How is Israel's situation to become a people that would be saved? Bless you. Okay, that was five. One more. Bless you.
Oh, did I say? You already got an extra blessing.
Oh, you got an extra blessing.
You should go for next time.
Okay, you're good for the next things. Right? So go ahead and get in groups real quick, talk about that, and then we're going to come back. And I also want to you to think about what Janine said. Right? They disobeyed. They fell into sin a lot. They were heavily influenced by the world around them. How does that relate to you? How is it, how is your personal experience of being sanctified? Okay, go ahead and get to your groups, like three, like if we could have deeper conversations, then have a smaller group. If you want to be buried and not listen to and not talk, then maybe you don't go through before. All right. Yeah. What? Okay, it seems like there's some good conversation. Any group want to share a little bit about what you talked about? How are we parallel like them? Gentlemen over here, brothers?
We said like destiny is, you know, there's a path, a goal towards when you're moving towards.
Right.
So in one sense that we're similar to the Israelites because like God saved us for a purpose, but also there's a progression that you're moving towards something.
Right.
I did say there's one thing that's a little bit different. Is that for, you know, like us today, we have the Holy Spirit with us,
mm-hmm.
right? But we are still given that, you know, I would say like role to actively follow and choose
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a part of the process where we have to, you know, sin
mm-hmm.
and actively choose Him over that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a version of our, like a goal God, a potential plan that God has allowed me to choose to follow.
Yes. Right. Okay, good. We'll move towards the front and the back.
Just back in this way. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Just go. Everyone's going to be there.
Or you guys can, ladies, I was in the youth group, you can go, ladies first, or you can defer. Try to defer. Don't defer to you. You're my group, bro.
No.
Huh? Okay.
We're talking a lot about like our like similarities with the with like Israel and how like they got tempted by like so many things, and that's like similar to us because we have so many like temptations that come across
mm-hmm.
and they did too.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Why is like the Promised Land as like, I guess like a goal to reach,
mm-hmm.
and that's like the same as like heaven,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's like,
heaven.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
What's
heaven?
Like
heaven?
Oh, like heaven? How many slides like heaven?
Like,
oh,
like
heaven's out here.
Heaven.
Like.
Like and heaven.
And like how there's so many temptations like the devil is trying to get us to.
Yeah. To not like reach that destiny. Right. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Alright. Go back.
Goals Kevin.
Huh? No, goals is Kevin.
No, I literally thought you said Kevin too, Dad.
Shall we go back? You have a person missing, we can head to the back.
We talked about how it's similar because it's up and down.
Yeah.
It's and Elise mentioned how, you know, the world standard for education and life
mm-hmm.
and money and is the determinant for us to go towards
mm-hmm.
God's destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all agree kind of like, you know what, if we lined up our heart's desire to God's destiny for us, that tension would be much less.
Mm-hmm.
You still go up and down, but it would be a lot smoother because if I was an Israelite and I'm like, I want to go to the land,
mm-hmm.
and God's like, hey, me too.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if we're all, then you're gonna go in the same direction. But if your heart is like, I want to go to Egypt, you're going to have a hard time because everything is going this way for God. But you're like, I want to go to Egypt. You're going to be a, that's going to be it.
Yeah, you're fighting against God.
You're fighting against God.
Yeah.
And you're fighting against God. That's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard fight.
That's a hard fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a hard fight. Okay, how about you guys?
But we are talking about how God's destiny aligned with our lives.
Mm.
We want to become more holy, and then we also talk about how we dislike Israel. When they was keep disobeying God, when it's so obvious that if you just obey, then you get the blessing.
Right, right.
But
if you disobey,
yeah,
it seems like pretty easy.
Yeah, but then when we look into our life, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like we got distracted, we forget.
Right.
And we got tempted.
Right, right, right.
We are just like the Israelites.
Right, in that sense. Okay. How about this group up here?
Well, actually, that's a really good one, but I'll start it up. We talked about, you know, the forgetfulness, the distractions.
Forgetfulness, right?
Forgetfulness
of God's, like, destiny for us.
Yeah, and distractions along the way. And then that's not a really good, like, real life example.
Oh, I was just saying, like, I'm not sure if I'm like the Israelites in this way, but, like, I'm always, like, trying to move forward, like trying to like do something and be active and move forward instead of just like sitting and being still, like, and seeing what God wants, right? And so, like, my example was like, like after your chemo stuff, right, I was like, oh, I need to just like sit and like journal or like reflect, right, and like write down, like, you know, where have we seen, or I have seen, like, God working in this. But I'm like, oh, I need to do that. I need to, like, update the Caring Bridge and, like, you know, just, like, kind of, like, soak in that, right? But instead, I'm like, oh, I need to, like, wash the dishes or, like, you know, do the clothes or, like, clean the house or, like, move and move forward. I'm always, like, working or moving and being active to move forward. But actually, I think what God wants and what he's been, like, putting on my heart is like just to like be still and sit, you know, and it's like so hard for me, and I'm not sure if like the Israelites are like that as well.
Yeah, I wonder why, what was one of the things, this is interesting, I like what you just said, what was the first thing that God sanctified? And he said, I will make this holy. This is to be holy. Okay, so the first thing, I go back to Genesis 1, creation. What is the very first thing, like a neutral thing? It's like, you know, there's this thing that you could read up on later. I wrote a bunch of notes on that I'm not gonna talk about. It's about things that are common, profane, which is unholy, or sacred. Sacred is God makes things like holy and sacred. Class, what do you guys remember as God was creating? What was the first thing, I think, that God said, this is holy. This thing, this is holy. And it's not an item, it's not something you can see or touch. Right? On day one, he created this, right? And he said it was good. On day two, you guys with me? He said it created and it was good. Day three, day four, day five. Day six, he created, he said it was good. Very good. And then on day 7, what did God do? He rested. And he called that day what?
Holy.
I'm sure I'm not that right. Interesting, isn't it? I wonder. See, what you're saying is the Israelites, if you parallel yourself with the Israelites, like they don't know how to stop and to worship. When you worship, you remember. The first thing that God called holy was rest. Isn't that crazy? That's weird. But that should be like mind blown. It's a day of rest, worship, remember, right? That's interesting. So that's a cool sharing, honey. Yes?
Let's make it like that.
But
I was just, I like the, what you shared on, you know, destiny, like there's already a version that, God has. Like,
for each of us. Yeah.
There's a version.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking about that. And what do you think? Do you think God sees you as you are now? Or does God see you as you the version that He has for you?
Yeah.
Right? Because we're all struggling. We're all in the desert, in the field, we're getting influenced, we're getting distracted, right? And we fall into sin, we fall short all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that we concentrate and focus on, right?
Yeah.
But from God's perspective, does He see you like that? Or does He see you as the version
mm-hmm.
that He has
right.
designed you to be already?
Right. Huh? Huh?
The version.
The perfect version. Because He sees the Christ version of us, right? That's huge. That's huge. I think for so many years, we hear, the reason why I'm using different verbiage is because I grew up hearing about be holy for I am holy, and I get that. But I never imagined that God had a picture, a plan for me that does not include sin. And when I used to think about sin, I used to just think about sins of the little things that I did and said and thought. But actually, when God talks about sin, it has all the damages of sin in your life. When you, like for the youth, last night I was sharing, when you get influenced by the world, and you start to live like your friends and talk like your friends and think like your friends, you leave a trail of bloodshed. Because your actions become just as sinful as your friends. Sometimes we need to actually sit and think about that. Like, man, you should think about your sins. You shouldn't take it lightly, right? You should be like, man, I am leaving in people's lives like bloodshed. My goals for my life is creating problems in my relationships. The way that I'm acting, the way that I think about things, my dreams that are influenced by the world, it's actually messing people up around me. Because those are not God's amazing plan for you. And I used to think it was just about sin or no sin, sin or no sin. Oh man, I struggle with sin. And my struggle with sin was bad. I always felt, I was always like, oh, I am, dude, if people only knew. And so when I started like preaching the gospel, even to you, I'd be like, what if God, you know, played your life and all your thoughts on this screen right now for us all to see? Ah, shame. You need that to understand God's grace. But I lived in that a lot of times. I'm like, oh man, I was so in shame. Living like, oh man, God sees me as like this flawed sinner. The Bible in the New Testament and the New Covenant, nowhere identifies us as sinners. Don't mope around and be like, I'm such, I'm such a sinner. You're declaring what Satan wants you to declare. You're not declaring who God already named you and declared you to be. God has called you holy and righteous. In the Old Testament, it says, you shall be a royal priesthood. In the New Covenant, you are the royal priesthood. You are. By the blood of Jesus. Amen? Right? Crazy. And so, yeah, we do have all these things. Right? See? And so, we talked about this last night. God's plan for us is to look more and more Jesus-y. Jesus is God without is God in human flesh without sin. But don't think about it just sinlessness. It's about being the version of you that reflects Jesus the most. So that in your family, because in the house is where it's the hardest to be practiced. You ask my kids, where is dad's like behavior the most like confusing? It's at home. The other day, Abby wanted to do something that was so good. It was so good. She wanted to bring a blessing to people. And I came across so hard on her. In one like thing, it wasn't the idea, it was how she was gonna borrow the church speaker. Okay, really? Okay, so she wanted to do like walk-up songs for the baseball team. She wanted to bless them and encourage each boy, because they're not going to win this game, right? And so she just wanted to bless them, and she got Ryan involved. Both of them are like working all night. Ryan worked till 1:30 at night. Like, they're chiming songs. They're like compiling walk-up songs. And she says, I'm going to write an email. I'm going to write a text. I'm like, hey, I'm totally off right now. She was like, can we use the Bluetooth speaker, you know, for church, the one that we use for outreach? And I go, you're gonna have to ask Daniel about that. You can't ask me. Like that's like the church like property, and he's over that. So I go, okay, fine, I'll text him. And then I'm like, hey, what did you text? What are you gonna text? And she's like, oh, hey Daniel, can we borrow your the Bluetooth speaker, the big Bluetooth speaker for our CJ's baseball game? My daddy is asking. And I'm like, no! Don't throw my name around like that. And I got so mad. I'm like, don't throw my name around. Don't abuse the pastor privilege. Like, oh, my dad says so. So, right? And Beck said, oh, hey, chill, Bill. Right? I'm like, whoa. Woo. Right? I've had that since I was like young. I have issues with sinful attitude, sinful temper, sinful, and that's not God's version of me, right? That doesn't reflect Jesus in the home, right? It doesn't reflect Jesus as all my daughter wanted to do was encourage some boys, and I'm like coming across really hard. You know, and my goal is to become more like Jesus, right? To let my light shine. But I want you to really learn to meditate on this concept that God says, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I never heard that before. I didn't understand this growing up in my faith. I never knew. I know that God does all the work to save us. We do none of the work except faith. We have faith in that. But no one ever told me, and that's not anyone's fault, no one ever told me that the Lord makes me the version that He designed me to become. No one told me that that was God's destiny for me. We use the word sanctification. I just replaced that with this picture to say, the more holy you become, you reflect Jesus, and you have this amazing life when you have less and less sin in your life. You start to realize, instead of tearing people down all the time, you're like naturally building people up.
And people like you, and they're like, oh my God, you really are an amazing bro. Dude, it ain't me. It's my amazing God. You don't bless people because you drive the best car. You live in the most posh house. You know, you have money to burn if you want. What gets the gospel of Jesus out when you reflect real Jesus? John Piper said this one time, is when he was talking about the prosperity gospel. He's like, when you get into a terrible car accident and your child flies out through the window, lays like 50 to 100 feet in front of you dead, and you can still say, yes, I'm wrecked inside. But what's that hint? It is well with my soul. Jesus still satisfies my soul. My child is dead before me, but my God, I believe, is still good. That's when you are living the amazing life of blessing, where people go, I've never seen that before. If that is not like Jesus, I don't know what it is. You see how our goals of the world deter us from God's destiny for us. And God says, you're not trying to do this alone. Christianity is not this, it's just so hard to fulfill this destiny and be holy. That is not our faith. I feel like I lived many years like that. And I was like, so why is this so hard? That's how I felt for so many years of my Christian life. Why is this hard? I have these good days. I'm like Israel. I'm like, praise God. And then I'm singing. And I'm like, I'm a sinner. I'm a worm. Right?
I'm a worm.
Yeah. And Jesus doesn't see me as a worm. Jesus doesn't see me as a sinner. Jesus sees me as he sees Jesus. God sees me as he sees his son. Right? And that's freeing. God says, I am the one who sanctifies you. It's amazing, right? But even in this verse, it says, you have to just have that desire. I shared that with someone the other day. Like, you just have, who do I have lunch with? I shared that with a brother. And just sitting at Panera. And he was like, I know I've been so far from God. And I'm like, God's not condemning you. Because I just want to be close to God again. And I want to love him. And I want to, you know, we're talking about destiny, right? Destiny's just been in my language recently. And he's like, I want God's destiny for me. I want to be more like Jesus. And I'm like, see, that's all you need. You need that decision to say, I want to be holy. I want to be consecrated. I'm going to consecrate myself and be holy, for the Lord sanctifies me. There's so much scripture. I'm just going to leave this in here. I forgot to publish it, so I think I lost like half this thing. I was so upset, and then I was like, you know, I was in the, and then I was like, wait a second, God. It's okay, I lost half of my material. Forgot to publish it, it's okay. Look at this, this is cool, okay. Look at 1 Thessalonians, I mean, look at these verses, but look at this verse right here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Wow. Wow. God sanctifies. And may your whole spirit and soul and body, that's trichotomy, right, Peter? Right? Your spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. He will surely what? He will surely sanctify you. Your part is
Yes. Do you need to actually like work towards it? Sure. But he's doing the work. It's, if I had more time, we would talk about, but we're going to end right now. Look at this. Yeah, forget it.
Oh, it's so good. The promises of God basically are saying that when you live going towards that destiny, it's not like, oh, this is so hard. You are asking God, God, I want that so bad. I want that destiny. I want to live in this way. I want to learn to rest. I want to worship you. I want to remember. And I want you to be the wind beneath my sails. I'm just going to put up the sails, and I want you to push my boat in that direction. I don't know how to fully explain it to you guys. I've been meditating on this for a long time. It's called synergism, right? It's basically, it's a cool word, but it's like, it's not like we're doing equal work, okay? God is doing the work. But, and I don't have the illustration yet. I'm just meditating all the time on like, what's the illustration? But we stay moving. And we stay moving as the Holy Spirit is like empowering us. That makes sense? I don't even know. What's so funny? Is it weird? Okay. So, all right, anyways, I'm totally open. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. And we just want to glorify you and bless you, God, because you are the source of all blessing in our life. We pray that we've gathered, and oh, I pray especially for these youth. They've heard this like now a buildup of 3 times, and I pray that it was as rich for them as it has been for me in preparing. I've just asked so much, Lord, that you would use it, and use it to convict us and to lead us and to give us joy. Lord, you are the one who sanctifies us. You are the one who leads us to become the version of us that you created us to be. You are the one who does that. So I thank you. Help us to know how to participate in that and yield to you. We thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.